Gyro Madhuva Jaya Kunjabi Hare Jaya Randa Madhuva Jaya Kunjabi Hare Vichana Panapa Jaya Baro Daure Jaya Baro Daure Jana Pana Pa Jaya Kiri Vana Dade Jaya Kiri Vana Dade Yasoda Nandana Jaya Vajjana Nandana Yasoda Nandana Vajjana Nandana Yamuna Tiramana Charina Kunjabi Hare Jaya Kunjabi Hare Yamuna Tiramana Charina Kunjabi Hare Jaya Kunjabi Hare Jaya Radha Madhava Jaya Kunjabi Hare Randa Madhava Jaya Kunjabi Hare Vichana Panapa Jaya Kiri Vanu Dare Kiri Vanu Dare Vichana Panapa Jaya Kiri Vanu Dare Jaya Kiri Vanu Dare Yasoda Nandana Jaya Vajjana Nandana Yasoda Nandana Jaya Vajjana Nandana Yamuna Tiramana Chari Jaya Kunjabi Hare Kunjabi Hare Yamuna Tiramana Chari Jaya Kunjabi Hare Kunjabi Hare Jaya Randa Madhava Jaya Kunjabi Hare Jaya Randa Madhava Jaya Kunjabi Hare Jai Om Vishnu Pad Paramahansa Paravitakacharya Also Teda Siddhashi Shimad His Divine Grace Abhaya Chananana Bhaktivedanta Gosami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. ISKCON Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Nantakoti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai. Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai. Prem Sego. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sidvaita Kadahad. Sri Vasani Gaur. Bhakta Vrinda Gajai Sri Sri Radhakrishna Gopi Gopinath Jaya Mukund Radhakunda Giri Govardhan Ki Jai Vrinda Vrindam Ki Jai Maturidam Ki Jai Jagannatha Swami Ki Jai Yamunamai Ki Jai Srimati Lassi Devi Ki Jai Samaveda Bhakta Vrinda Gajai Gaur Premananda Hari Hari Bol All glories the assembled devotees All glories the assembled devotees All glories to the assembled All glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale. Srimati Bhakti Padanta Swami Namani Namaste Saraswati Devi. Gauramani Pracharane Nivashesha Shunyavadi. Paschacha Deja Tarane So, Om Gana Timidandasha Gananjana Shilakaya Chakshur Ur Miditam Yena Tasmai Shigurave Namaha. We offer our respectful obeisances under the lotus feet of our spiritual master, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, who so kindly opened our eyes with the torchlight of knowledge while we were blinded in the darkness of ignorance. So we're going to continue with our reading of the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. Incidentally, this Thursday here in the United States, which is Friday, those of you in Australia, New Zealand, Fiji, it's the appearance day of Sri Dwaitacharya. And next Thursday, in Australia, New Zealand, Fiji, it's the appearance day of Lord Nityananda, and the internet is, unstable. Let me just set up my alternative internet in case there's a problem. Okay. Work. So, little announcement. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya, Jaya Nityananda, Jaya Dvaita Chandra, Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda, Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya, Jaya Nityananda, Jaya Dvaita Chandra, Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda, Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya, Jaya Nityananda, Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. All right. And I am going to share my screen. I'm so compassionate. I'm even sharing my screen with all of you. Pretty good. Okay. Okay. Share a screen. Get everything else is set up. Whoops. I think that's the wrong screen. Hold on a second. Back to the drawing board. Yeah, I shared the wrong screen with you all here. There's a picture of me. On my website, actually. Here we go. Right screen. Okay. Just get set up. One second. Okay, that's good for that. And that's good for that. Oh, that makes sense. All right. Here we go. Text 13 of the 10th chapter of Adi Lila Chaitanya Charitamrita, which is translated by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada and commented on by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada and written originally by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. Acharya Ratnera Nama Sri Chandrasekara Yanra Gare Devi Bhave Nachila Ishvara. Acharya Ratna was also named Chandrasekara Acharya in a drama in his house. Lord Chaitanya played the goddess of fortune. So, purport. Dramatic performances were enacted during the presence of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but the players who took part in such dramas were all pure devotees. No outsiders were allowed. The members of ISKCON should follow this example. Now, okay. This is what Prabhupada explains. Whenever they stage dramatic performances about the lives of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Krishna, the players must be pure devotees. Professional players and dramatic actors have no sense of devotional service, and therefore, although they can perform very artistically, there is no life in such performances. Shilavaktisiddhantasaras Vati Thakur used to refer to such an actor as Yatra Dhale Narda, which means farcical. Farcical? Narda. Sometimes an actor in a drama plays the part of Narada Muni, although in his private life is not at all like Narada Muni because he is not a devotee. Such actors are not needed in such dramatic performances about the lives of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Krishna. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to perform dramas with the Dvaita Prabhu, Srivast Thakur, and other devotees in the house of Chandrasekhara. The place where Chandrasekhara's house was situated is now known as Vrajapatana. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur established a branch of his Sri Chaitanya Math at this place. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu decided to accept, of course, this is the Chaitanya Math or the Gaudiya Math, which has the samadhi of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu decided to accept the renounced order of life, Chandrasekhara Acharya was informed of this by Sri Nityananda Prabhu, and he therefore was present when Lord Chaitanya accepted sannyas from Keshava Bharati in Katpa. It is he who first spread the word in Navadvipa of Lord Chaitanya's accepting sannyasa. Sri Chandrasekhara Acharya was present during many important incidents in the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He therefore forms the second branch of the tree of Lord Chaitanya. Now it's interesting, when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would put these plays on, not only were all the devotees pure devotees or Vishnu Tattva, there's Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Vishnu Tattva, but everybody who was there was a pure devotee. In fact, they stationed guards at the door or at the entrance of the particular area to make sure that no one could enter who was not a pure devotee. And sometimes that caused a little bit of difficulty. There was one Brahmin one time who wanted to enter and he wasn't allowed to enter. And he got so angry with Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saying that because I have been locked out, I curse you to be locked out of your house. And Lord Chaitanya became very happy at that and he took sannyas, locked out of his house. And then another time, there was a devotee who became very angry at Srivast Thakur. His name was Gopal Chapala. And this Gopal Chapala, he got so angry at Srivast Thakur that he tried to make it seem that Srivast Thakur was worshipping demigods instead of Lord Krishna. And because of that, he got very sick. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu later on forgave him. But that's another story. So, many times there was difficulty because people, another time in Srivast Thakur's house, Srivast Thakur's mother-in-law snuck in and she was hiding behind a curtain and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu couldn't experience the ecstasy that he normally experienced in Kirtan. He said, someone is here who doesn't belong here. And they looked behind the curtain and they found the mother-in-law of Srivast Thakur. They kicked her out and then there was ecstasy. Another time, Srivast Thakur brought in who he thought was a pure Brahmin who lived just by drinking milk, and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was not pleased, but the Brahmin surrendered to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and then Lord Chaitanya became pleased. There's many different stories of things that happened during these programs that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had. So, as described here, when they did the plays, everyone was a pure devotee. So Prabhupada says here that when we do these plays in ISKCON, everyone has to be a pure devotee. So, does that mean we don't do any plays in this con? Because hard to find pure devotees. And who is going to say, well, I'm qualified to act because I'm a pure devotee? Prabhupada said that all of his disciples are pure devotees. Why? Because those who are actually disciples, what does a disciple mean? Okay, first of all, we have to understand the word disciple. And Prabhupada oftentimes talked about how the word disciple has the same root as discipline. And in Sanskrit, it's very similar. In Sanskrit, the word for disciple is shishya, shishyateham, santanam. Anyway, so what does it mean? It comes from the root shash, the shash dhatu. Dhatu means root, of course, and which means discipline. And then you have these words very much connected, like shastra, that means Bhagavatam and different books about Krishna, and devotional service like nectar devotion, and shastra, which means the stick. So the disciple is someone who is disciplined by the spiritual master. That's what it means to be a disciple. Now, this word discipline is a heavy word. We don't like that word very much. Like when our mother said, or my mother, you know, you see how I'm using the plural, because it was traumatic. If it wasn't traumatic, I would have said when my mother said. But because it's traumatic, I use the plural. When our mother said, I'm going to discipline you. That was it. I had to run away. So we don't like the word discipline, but this discipline is done through love. In other words, by out of the, or through the mood of love, one disciplines themselves because one is thinking how to please the spiritual master. Just like I get up early in the morning and I go to Mangalarti. And when they think, why do you get up early in the morning? Aren't you ever tired early in the morning? And I say, sure thing. Don't you ever have insomnia at night? I said, sure. Just like everybody else. Especially we have insomnia because of our many disciples who give us insomnia. What do I mean, give us insomnia? They do certain things and we're worried, oh my God, what's going to happen? What did they say? What is their consciousness like? Where are they? And so you can't sleep when you're in anxiety. Prabhupada also had a similar circumstance. He couldn't sleep when he was in anxiety. So we have insomnia. Yeah, sure. Then we get up. It's like in the army, Krishna's army. Like if you're in the army and the bugle blows, that's like a trumpet that wakes people up in the morning, then what do? You get up. You can't say to the commanding officer, I mean, those of you who've been in the army would know what I'm talking about, I had insomnia last night. I have a little tummy ache. Oh my God, not only do you have to get up, you have to make your bed, you have to stand at attention, you have to salute, you have to bathe, all those things early in the morning. Because you chose to. So that's what it means to be disciplined by the spiritual master. You choose to out of love. You know this will be very pleasing to Krishna. And you know Krishna's everywhere. Krishna is watching you. He's omniscient, means he sees everything. He's in the heart. Videsha, Arjuna, Tishtati. And so that's discipline, and it comes from the self. You know, Krishna's not walking around with a stick. You know, obviously, if you don't follow the rules and regulations, like the four regular principles, then you do get the stick, and that stick is called Yamaraj, Yamadanda. Danda means stick. So Yamadanda. So anyway, So you discipline. And that's what makes a disciple. It's not that initiation makes one a disciple. People think like that, oh, now I'm a disciple. And then they act in any way, yeah, I'm a disciple. No, you ain't a disciple. Just initiation doesn't mean that you're a disciple. It means you were initiated. That's all. It means you went through a ceremony. That's all. Because disciple means to accept. And so if someone accepts and functions in that capacity, in spite of, you know, the pushings and the pullings, like Rupa Goswami states in the Nectar of Instruction, Bacho Vedam, Manasa, Krul Vedam, Jiva Vedam, scooter up, pushed the vega. What does that mean? Though I was pushing from the words, bah. You have to speak. A motor mouth. What's the difference between someone who speaks too much and a crocodile? Well, the crocodile's strongest muscle is closing the mouth, and someone who has uncontrolled speech, his strongest muscle is opening the mouth. Anyway, so facho vagum, the pushing of the speech, facho vagum, manas of the mind, the anger, crota, vagum, jua, the pushing of the tongue to taste something, vagum, udara pacha, the belly, taste, eat, eat, and the genitals. So these pushings, one controls them out of love. That's discipline. You discipline your body. Because the body is not a person. The body is just a machine. Yam tura udani maya. The problem is that many people, they're identifying with the body. So much so. I'm male, I'm female. I am somewhere in between. Like that, but that's not what we are. We are the soul and the body, and we have a certain type of body. It's like you have a certain type of car, and based on the car, you enjoy this or enjoy that. Just like the other day, I got in the car, which shall remain nameless, what type of car, and the car was able to do 0 to 60. In 2.5 seconds. So I had some devotees in the car. And this one, look, boom. And your car may do 0 to 60 in 2.5 minutes. But you're still the same person. But we really concentrate on the car so much. That is the body so much. And we identify with the body. That is our illusion. That's what keeps us in this world. This identification with the car that we're driving. It's really amazing. I mean, try that sometime. Drive around in a real fancy car and see if it doesn't change your consciousness. Today, I had the benediction of driving around the fancy car. And not only, it was actually quite funny, that we went someplace to go shopping for something. You know, anyway. We're shopping for a carport, not for the car, but for the tractor that we have on the temple. You know, that's my car, a tractor. Anyway, so we have a tractor, big tractor, medium-sized tractor at the temple. So we went shopping for something to cover it up so it doesn't get damaged. And as soon as I pulled up in this fancy car, the person, he offered me so much respect. It was like God had arrived at his dealership. So you see, it's really interesting. The type of body you have influences how other people interact with you and how you feel. We personally experience that. Really interesting phenomena. One should not get caught up in this. I mean, some people, they have a Volkswagen body, and other people, they have a Mercedes body. Okay, enough funny stuff. So, Pundarika Vidyanidhi Bhara Shaka Jani Yanranama Lana. Oh, I didn't finish. Oh my God. So I didn't finish talking about the last purport. The Prabhupada said only pure devotee. So pure devotee means anyone who's following strictly. That's how Prabhupada defined it. Sorry. I had to just wind up that complete discussion. Pundarika Vidyanidhi Vada Shaka Jani Yanra Nama Lanu Prabhu Karna Dila Apani. Pundarika Vidyanidhi, the third big branch, was so dear to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that in his absence, Lord Chaitanya himself would sometimes cry. In the Gauranga Deshnipika 54, Srila Pundarik Vijayaneni is described as the father of Srimati Radharani and Krishna Leela, that's Rishabhanu. And Srimati Radharani is known as Rishabhanu Nandini. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu therefore treated him as his father. Pundarik Vijayaneni's father was known as Vaneshra, or according to another opinion, Shuklambara Brahmachari. Wow. Interesting Brahmachari. And his mother's name was Gangadevi. According to one opinion, Vaneshra was a descendant of Sri Shivarama Gangopadhyaya. The original home of Pundarik Vijayaneni was in East Bengal, now Bangladesh, in a village near Dhaka named Hugia, which belonged to the Virendra group of Brahmana families. Sometimes these Virendra Brahmanas were at odds with another group known as Radhiya Brahmanas, and therefore Pundarik Vijayaneni's family was ostracized and at that time was not living as a respectable family. Wow, it's Pundarik Vijayaneni's appearance day today. I didn't know that. The reason I didn't know that, because I've been at GBC meetings during the morning program. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur writes in his Anuvasha, one of the members of this family is living in Vrindavan and is named Sarojananda Goswami. One special characteristic of this family is that each of its members had only one son or no son at all, and therefore the family is not very expansive. There is a place in the district of Chattagrama in East Bengal that is known as Hata Hajari, and a short distance from this place is a village known as Mikaral Grama, in which Pundarik Vijayaneni's forefathers lived. One can approach Mikaral Grama from Chattagrama either on horseback, by bullock cart, or by steamer. The steamer station is known as Annapurnara Ghata. The birthplace of Pundarik Vijayaneni is about 2 miles southwest of Annapurnara Ghata. The temple constructed there by Pundarik Vijayaneni is now very old and much in need of repair. Without repair, the temple may soon crumble. There are two inscriptions on the bricks of that temple, but they are so old that one cannot read them. There's another temple, however, about 200 yards south of this one, and some people say that this is the old temple constructed by Pundarik Vijayaneni. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu called Pundarik Vijayaneni father, and he gave him the title of Premanidhi. Pundarik Vijayaneni later became the spiritual master of Gadadhar Pandit Goswami and an intimate friend of Sarup Damodar's. Gadadhar Pandit at first misunderstood Pundarik Vijayaneni to be an ordinary pound and shilling man, but later on, upon being corrected by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he became his disciple. Another incident in the life of Pundarik Vijayaneni involves his criticizing the priest of the Jagannath temple, for which Jagannath Prabhu chastised him personally by slapping his cheeks. This is described in the Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat Anchakanda, chapter 10. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur informs us that during his time there were still two living descendants of the family of Pundarik Vijayaneni who were named Sri Hara Kumara Smriti Tirtha and Sri Krishna Kinkara Vidyalankara. For further information, one should refer to the dictionary known as Vaishnava Manjusha. So about Pundarik Vijayaneni, as I said before, and Prabhupada said before, he's considered an incarnation of Rishabhanu, Srimati Radharani's father. And it's an interesting story of how Gadadhar Pandit Goswami took initiation from Pundarik Vijayaneni. So once upon a time, Pundarik Vijayaneni was visiting Navadvipa area. And Mukunda, one of the classmates of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and also Gadadhar Pandit at that time, were together. And Mukunda said to Gadadhar Pandit, there's this great devotee, you got to see him. Please, let me take you. And Gadadhar Pandit said, yes, let's go see him. So they went to see Pundarik Vijayaneni. Pundarik Vijayaneni was living a very opulent life, which is all right for a Vaishnava. One should not judge a Vaishnava externally. One should not judge a Vaishnava according to his gender. One should not, or her gender, or their gender, to be more precise. One should not judge a Vaishnava according to their country. One should not judge a Vaishnava according to their age. One should not judge a Vaishnava according to their color of the skin. That's called hellish intelligence. It's like calling the deity stone or wood. Anyway, so Pundarik Vijayaniti was seated on a very opulent bedstead, you know, silk sheets, and his hair was combed back and oiled, and he was chewing pan. And Gadadhar Pandit and Mukunda went to see him. And Gadadhar Pandit was thinking, this is an exalted Vaishnava. What? How's that possible? How could he be an exalted Vaishnava? You know, Vaishnavas are renounced from this world. You know, even if they're householders, they're pretty renounced. You know, they're not driving around in an opulent car. So anyway, so what happened is that, or seated on a four-poster bed with silk sheets and chewing pan. You can imagine someone came to see me and they saw me chewing pan and my bed had silk sheets and I was just sitting there lounging back. You might think a few things about me. And I was driving a Cadillac. Anyway, getting back to the story. So Gadadhar Pandit thought, he's not so much of a great devotee, you know. He's a devotee, but, you know, he's a pretty materialistic guy. And so Mukunda, understanding the mentality of Gadadhar Pandit, began to chant a verse about the mercy of Lord Krishna from the Srimad Bhagavatam. And Pundarik Vijayaniti at that time exhibited what we call the Sanshari Bhavas. Yeah, he just went unconscious, frankly tore all the bed sheets, and was rolling around in ecstasy, and Gadadhar Pandit understood, wow, I have made a big mistake. So we waited until Pundarik Vijayaniti came back to external consciousness, and he said, yes, the only way to rectify my mistake is if I take initiation from you. And Pundarik Vijayaniti, knowing Gadadhar Pandit's exalted position, because he's an incarnation of Srimati Radharani, said to him, only after many lifetimes do I get a disciple like you. And so he initiated Gadadhar Pandit Goswami. So he's the spiritual master of Gadadhar Pandit Goswami. And the other story which Prabhupada mentioned there was the story of Lord Jagannath slapping Pundarik Vijayaniti. So the story goes as follows. There's this one ceremony called Odhana Shashti, every year in which they give Lord Jagannath new clothes. But during this ceremony, they gave Lord Jagannath new clothes that had not been washed or softened after they were made. Now, you know, sometimes in India you get some new cloth and it's really starchy. In other words, stiff, like a board. And it's not so pleasant to wear those new clothes. Just like right now, these are not new clothes. They're nice and wrinkled. I love wrinkled clothes. And so the soft cotton, I love wrinkled cotton clothes. So anyway, so what happened is that Lord Jagannath was given these hard, starched clothes, and Pundarik Vijayaniti felt a little hateful towards the Pujari. I mean, transcendental. He's a little critical. This Pujari is stupid. How could he do that? So that night, he was taking rest, and as he was taking rest, Lord Jagannath appeared in his dream, and Baladeva and Subhadra appeared in his dream. And they got very angry with him, and they started slapping him. Boom, 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 boom. You've offended this Pujari. And then that morning he woke up, got out of bed, and his cheeks were really swollen. He goes, Lord Jagannath had actually slapped him. So this is the life of a pure devotee. He had to get slapped by Lord Jagannath. I wouldn't mind that. Bara shaka gadadhara pandita goshani, teno lakshmi rupa tanra samak Kehanai. Gadadhar Pandit, the fourth branch, is described as an incarnation of the pleasure potency of Sri Krishna. No one, therefore, can equal him. Purport in the Gaura Ganadesh Dipika, 143, of course, it is stated the pleasure potency of Sri Krishna, formerly known as Vrindavaneshwari, is now personified, that's Radharani, in the form of Sri Gadadhar Pandit in the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sri Swarup Damodar Goswami has pointed out that in the shape of Lakshmi, the pleasure potency of Krishna, she was formerly very dear to the Lord as Shyama Sundara Vallabhal. The same Shyama Sundara Vallabhal was present in Lord Chaitanya's pastimes as Gadadhar Pandit. Formerly as Lalita Sakhi, she was always devoted to Srimati Radharani. Thus, Gadadhar Pandit is simultaneously an incarnation of Srimati Radharani and Lalita Sakhi. In the 12th chapter of this part of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, there is a description of the descendants or disciplic succession of Gadadhar Pandit. So we already described that Gadadhar Pandit was initiated by Pundarik Vijayaniti. And so you could say, you know, simultaneously an incarnation of Srimati Radharani and Lalita Sakhi. Well, try to understand that Lalita Sakhi is an expansion of Srimati Radharani. So here we're talking about Srimati Radharani, who appeared in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes as Gadadhar Pandit Goswami, exhibiting different moods at different times. Also, interestingly enough, Swarup Damodar Goswami is sometimes described as an incarnation of Lalita Sakhi. And we have Ramananda Roy described as an incarnation of Vishakha Sakhi, and also sometimes as an incarnation of Arjuna. These are very mysterious descriptions, but in many cases, it indicates a certain bhav or emotion of a devotee. But Gadadhar Pandit Goswami is certainly Shakti Tattva. He is not Jiva Tattva. So his mood and relationship to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had some similarities with Srimati Radharani's mood, because he is an appearance of Srimati Radharani, but there was a certain aspect of the bhav that was not manifest in his serving mood. And that aspect was the unsubmissive aspect of Radharani's relationship with Krishna. As we know, sometimes Radharani gets very angry with Krishna and arranges for her girlfriends to take up sticks to keep Krishna away, and sometimes Krishna has to bow down at her feet, crying submissively in order to be forgiven by her. And sometimes he has to dress up as a woman, so even Krishna does that. Sometimes he has to dress up as a woman to associate with Srimati Radharani. Sometimes he has to act as a snake charmer to associate with Srimati Radharani because of her man, her anger towards him. And so this anger that Srimati Radharani manifests towards Krishna is very pleasing to Krishna, because Krishna enjoys the spices, just like sometimes one enjoys chili peppers in their prasadam. So Krishna likes very spicy relationships with his shaktis and also with his devotees. Very spicy. And Krishna keeps our lives very spicy too. So we see that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also had the mood of Srimati Radharani. But he did also, or he did exhibit that bhav of anger sometimes towards Sri Krishna. So he fully exhibited the mood of Srimati Radharani, whereas Gadadhar Pandit Goswami, being Srimati Radharani, didn't exhibit all of the different moods of Srimati Radharani, at least externally. And Gadadhar Pandit Goswami served Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as his childhood friend, first of all, and secondly, as his constant associate in Jagannath Puri. Gadadhar Pandit Goswami took the vow of Kshetra Sannyas to remain in Jagannath Puri, always serving his deity of Tota Gopinath. And when Gadadhar Pandit Goswami got old and the deity was quite tall, He was having difficulty dressing the deity, so Totogopinath sat down. He's Krishna deity, and he sat down. You can see the deity today. It's a very big deity. He's a very big deity. So Krishna sat down to enable Gadadhar Pandit Goswami to dress him. And that same deity of Totogopinath was the deity in which Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu entered when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left this mortal world. So if you go to see that deity today, the Pujari will show you the golden streak on the deity's thigh. And that golden streak indicates the place where Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu entered the deity and disappeared from this world. And Gadadhar Pandit Goswami also left this world entering into the deity room. So it's a very special deity. I mean, you all have to come with us to Jagannath Puri sometime and go to these wonderful places, the Gambira, where Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu resided, Haridas Thakur Samadhi, the Siddha Bakul, where Haridas Thakur chanted near the Bakul tree, temple of Totogopinath, and the temple of Lord Jagannath, if they will let you in. Of course, they didn't let me in. I tried to bribe my way in. It just didn't work, unfortunately. So, Tanra Shisha Upa Shisha Tanra Upa Shakka E Matasaba Shaka Upatsakara Leka. His disciples and grand disciples are his sub-branches. To describe them all would be difficult. Rakesha Pandita Prabhura Balapriya Vritcha Ekabhave Chabhisha Prahara Yanvanritcha. Rakesha Pandit was the fifth branch of the tree. He was a very dear servant of Lord Chaitanya's. He would dance with constant ecstasy for 72 hours. In the Gauranga Deshtipika, it is stated that Rakesha Pandit was an incarnation of Aniruddha, one of the quadruple expansions of Vishnu, Vasudeva, Sankarsana, Prajuna, and Aniruddha, usually Prajuna and Aniruddha. So this is the list, they got it reversed. So he could dance wonderfully for 72 continuous hours when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu played in dramatic performances in the house of Shivas Pandit. Rakesha Pandit was one of the chief dancers, and he danced continually for that length of time. Sri Govinda Das, an Odia devotee, it means from Orissa, of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has described the life of Rakesha Pandit in his book, Gaura Krishnodaya. There are many disciples of Rakesha Pandit in Orissa, and they are known as Gaudiya Vaishnavas, although they are Oriyas. Among these disciples are Sri Gopal Guru and his disciple, Sri Jana Chandra Goswami. And Gopal Guru and Jana Chandra Goswami actually wrote instructions on how to cultivate your internal life and meditate on the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. And that's something very, very, very advanced. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said about Rakesha Pandit that I only have one devotee like you. You are like a wing of a bird. And if I had two devotees like you, because he danced for so many hours, I would have two wings. I would be able to fly in the sky. So, apane Mahaprabhu gaya nyanranritra kale prabodak charanadhari vrakeshwara bhale. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally sang while Vrakeshwara Pandit danced, and thus Vrakeshwara Pandit fell at the lotus feet of the Lord and spoke as follows. Dasha sahasra gandharva maure deha chandramuka taragaya muni nachom tabe mora suka. Oh, chandramuka, that means someone who has a face like the moon. This is a beautiful face. Please give me 10,000 gandharvas. Let them sing as I dance, and then I will be greatly happy. The gandharvas, who are the residents of Gandharva Loka, are celebrated as celestial singers. Whenever singing is needed in the celestial planets, the Gandharvas are invited to sing. The Gandharvas can sing for days, and therefore Rakesha Pandit wanted to dance as they sang. Prabhu bale tumi mora paksha eka shakka akasya yudi tamayadi panhara paka. Lord Chaitanya replied, here's what I just said. I have only one wing like you, but if I had another, certainly I would fly in the sky. Pandita Jagadananda Prabhur Prana Rupa Loke Kyata Teno Satyava Mara Sarupa. Pandita Jagadananda, the sixth branch of the Chaitanya tree, was celebrated as the life and soul of the Lord. He is known as to have been an incarnation of Satyabhama, one of the chief queens of Lord Krishna. There are many dealings of Jagadananda Pandit with Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Most importantly, he was the Lord's constant companion and especially took part in all the pastimes of the Lord in the houses of Srivas Pandit and Chandrasekhara Acharya. And having the mood of Satyabhama, he also sometimes argued with the Lord. Give you one example. One time, he took great pain to bring the Lord sandalwood oil for the Lord to put on his body for his massage like that. And he brought all the way to Jagannath Puri for the Supreme Personality Godhead. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told his servant Govinda, I'm not going to use sandalwood oil, because if a sannyasi wears sandalwood oil, everyone will smell it and think that this is a sannyasi who's a dhari sannyasi who keeps ladies. And so he said, let him use the sandalwood oil for Lord Jagannath. So later on, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was with Jagannanda, and he said, I heard you brought some sandalwood oil. You should use this for the Lord. And Jagannanda Pandit said, who told you I got sandalwood oil? And he had the sandalwood oil in a container, you know, clay container, which is what they had at that time, with him, and he smashed the sandalwood oil on the ground. And he got so angry with Lord Chaitanya, or threw a fit, and he locked himself in his room for several days, did not eat. And Lord Chaitanya was very, very worried about him. And so Lord Chaitanya made a trick to get him out of the room. He said, I want you to cook for me. Please come out of your room. And so he came out, and then Lord Chaitanya took the prasad. He says, boy, when you cook in an angry mood, it's really tasty. And then he ordered Jagadananda Pandit to take prasad. And Jagadananda Pandit went later, and he did take prasad. Govinda watched him do that, because Lord Chaitanya was actually nervous about the whole thing. Another time, Jagannanda Pandit was with Sanatana Goswami. He was sent by Lord Chaitanya to Vrindavan, told by Lord Chaitanya, don't criticize the residents of Vrindavan. They're in a different level of devotional service than you are. So he was with Sanatana Goswami. Sanatana Goswami had this red wrap around his head that was given to him by another sannyasi named Mukunda Saraswati. And Jagannanda Pandit asked him, who has given you that red wrap that you have around your head? And Sanatana Goswami said, Mukunda Saraswati. And Jagannanda Pandit got so angry, you have accepted something from another sannyasi other than Lord Chaitanya. He took a pot and, you know, made it seem like he was going to hit Sanatana Goswami with the pot. And Sanatana Goswami said, I did this just to see your love for Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he exhibited many pastimes in which he showed his anger. And Lord Chaitanya very much enjoyed the anger of his pure devotees, which has nothing to do with the anger of the material world. It's actually anger, love anger, like prema vivarta. It is not the anger that comes from frustration in the material world. So we will end here. So we ended in text 21 today. 22 tomorrow we will go to, so we are going to open up the floor or the computer for questions. Let's see where we are. Allow the people to ask questions. Okay, who has a question? Okay, let me turn up the volume. I guess I have to turn on both of these volumes. Okay, ask your question. Who is that?
This is Rishikesh Gurudev.
Rishikesh, I recognize you now. Okay.
Yes, today I read the Bhagavatam. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. I was just like checking to see where my sound is coming from, but I can hear you clearly.
Where the Lord tells to Nalakuvar and Manigruva, and I don't know the Sanskrit, but the English says, that just like when someone sees a sun, there is no question of darkness. When as soon as someone sees a sun, all darkness is gone. Similarly, when
Right.
one has a face-to-face darshan of a sadhu, then immediately is relieved from material bondage.
That's right.
That's what the Lord says to Manigruva. How does it work, Gurudev? How does that work?
Well, the sadhu is the merciful incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And so as soon as one sees the sadhu, one sees the Karuna Shakti of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But of course, it's not simply seen. I mean, seen is also beneficial, but one has to be perfectly respectful of the sadhu. One has to hear from the sadhu. Ashru-shru-shro-shradana-shavasa-devgata-ruchi-shan-mahat-sevya-vipra-punya-tirtha-shevanat. And then one gets the full mercy. But it's a fact. Even in the physical presence of the sadhu, one experiences transcendental consciousness. When I was with Prabhupada, I experienced that. In 1971, I saw Prabhupada in Gainesville, Florida for the first time. And it was like I was in the spiritual world, just being in the physical presence of Prabhupada. So that was my experience. And I think that was the experience of just about all of everybody who was with.
So Nalakuvar and Manigruva, they were not respectful to Narad ji, to Narad Deva. But
No,
still they
but
got.
they were drunk. They had they that was fine. When you're drunk, it's understandable. You have to be a little compassionate. They were not respectful because they were drunk. I would assume that if had they not been drunk, they would have acted respectfully. But anyway, they were drunk and naked, and they were also intoxicated because they were with young girls like apsaras. So, does that answer the question?
Yes, good. Thank you.
Anyway, yeah, they weren't respectful, but the sadhu, when he curses, he acts that curse is actually a blessing. That's the benefit of being cursed by a sadhu. The sadhu doesn't curse to make you suffer. The sadhu makes curses to bless you. So their curse actually, or the curse they got from Narada Muni actually enabled them to see Krishna. That's nice. Okay, who else has a question? No one else.
Please accept my humble obeisances.
Oh, Rakesh, Hare Krishna.
Krishna Guru. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu disappeared into the deity. Which deity was it?
Tota Gopinath. The Tota Gopinath is there in Jagannath Puri. And right close to that, there is a sand dune, which Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu thought was Govardhan Hill, and he would rush towards that sand dune. There's a big sand dune means a big pile of sand. It was blown by the wind. And he was thinking it was Govardhan Hill, and he would just rush towards Govardhan Hill. Anyway, one day you all have to come with me to Jagannath Puri.
Yes, good. I'm waiting for it. I will definitely be with you.
Me
All
too.
Good. The second question, Gadadhar Pandit also disappeared into the deities. Which deity was that?
Tota Gopinath. Well,
Oh,
he
both.
disappeared into the deity room. Yeah, he went into the deity room and he disappeared.
Thank you, Gurudev.
The same deity. Same deity. And the devotees, we are allowed, I mean, the Westerners. The Westerners are allowed to, I'd have to dress up like an old Hindu lady to be able to go in the temple of Lord Jagannath.
That would be interesting, Gurudev.
Actually, one of my godbrothers, Bhakti Tirthamar, is dressed up as a Hindu to go into Lord Jagannath's temple, and he snuck in. He saw Lord Jagannath. And then he went in the second time, and they caught him, and he was running, and he had to jump over the wall to get away from the dacoits. But as far as the temple of Tota Gopinath, they love ISKCON devotees there. You can go to see that temple anytime and take darshan and have a kirtan in front of the deities. We had many kirtans in front of the deities there, the Tota Gopinath temple. Very amazing temple. Very, very amazing. You have to go there. I'm actually missing India, but somehow or other, maybe this year, I will go to India.
I will follow you, Gurudev. I will come, like, whenever you go, I will be there.
Yeah, but you're in Australia. You're not allowed to leave Australia.
Yes, that is true. But are you going? Okay, we'll figure it out.
Actually, everybody in Australia is not allowed to leave Australia, because if you go in, if you come back, even if you're a citizen, they make you pay thousands and thousands of dollars to stay in government housing while you're in their quarantine. So even as a citizen, you're not supposed to leave or go out. But as America, we're the land of the free, home of the brave. So I can leave.
In America, they don't even test it, Gurudev. I mean, Adhidev went, no one, they don't even show, you don't have to even show that you are negative before boarding the plane. It's pretty amazing.
Yeah, because everyone's transcendental. India is so transcendental. Even the COVID virus is transcendental in India. And if you don't want to get COVID in India, you just have to bribe the virus. You don't even have to wear a mask. just have to give the virus 10,000 rupees and you're free, you know. Things function differently in India. I mean, for example, we had a meeting this morning. Anyway, it was an interesting meeting with eight of us. Four of us were from the United States, and four of us were from India. And the people from India were 15 minutes late, and the people from the United States were on time. And we were all getting frustrated. And the people from India thought this is just natural, because if you show up on time, it's very disrespectful.
It's true. Indians don't have any sense of time.
Well, they do. They have a delayed sense of time. it's a delay. So it's called Indian Standard Time, man, just like delayed time. One of my godbrother was preaching in India, and he's very famous. He was always 2 hours late for a lecture. But Prabhupada, on the other hand, was very punctual. There's that story that the devotees had an appointment with one of the prime ministers of India, not Indira Gandhi, but there was another prime minister. I forget the name right now. And this prime minister was very punctual, and the devotees showed up late, and the prime minister didn't have time to see them. And Prabhupada got very angry at the devotees. Every time I've been with Prabhupada, he's been super punctual, super punctual. Prabhupada, we would start his darshans at night at a particular time. He would end them at night at a particular time. He would arrive after, he would go for his morning walk like clockwork at a certain time. He'd come back from his morning walk exactly when the deities were supposed to be greeted in the morning. Prabhupada would come back. I remember being with Prabhupada, come back in the car from the morning walk, walk into the temple, and that's exactly when the conch shells would blow, the curtains would open. Everything was just so like clockwork with Prabhupada. You could actually tell the time by watching Prabhupada. And that's how he accomplished so much. I mean, because he's a pure devotee also. But one reason he was able to accomplish so much, because he was very much regulated. He always consulted his watch. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, same thing. Bhakti Vinod Thakur, He had a pocket watch. And it's described that Bhaktivinoda Thakur regulated the deity worship in Jagannath Puri because they were not, he regulated it to the minute or to the second. So we find in our sampradaya amongst the preachers, they were extremely regulated. In the six Goswamis, it's described like that. They were regulated in their lives. In other words, counting the japa, doing, as far as they're eating, they would eat in a very regulated fashion. So this regulation of the senses, the regulation of one's life, is actually part of Vaishnava culture. I mean, we may joke about Indian culture, but Vaishnava culture is a very, very regulated, time-bound culture. And we see that in our founder, Acharya. So, anyway, so who else has a question?
Please accept my humble obeisances, Maharaj.
Yes, Mr. Govinda. So, all right, so what's up?
Maharaj, a philosophical question on you have explained about Bhakrishar Pandit briefly, very nicely.
Yeah.
I always wonder that Bhakrishar Pandit, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained that relinquish of offensive nature in details. He gave 8 slokas in Jagannath Puri when a Brahmana went to see him complain against Nityananda Prabhu.
Yeah.
So one of the sloka he says, kata phute jai mukhe shi mukhe jai, paya kata phute leki skande bahira. If the thorn poked on the toes, you cannot pull it out from the shoulder. It has to be pulled out from the same spot it went in.
Right.
Then my question is, Devananda Pandit, who committed offense to Sivas, but he was delivered by Bhakrishar Pandit.
No. He got Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
Wait.
You didn't finish the story. Because he served Rakeshwara Pandit, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructed him to go to Srivas Thakur. That's the whole story.
He experienced ecstasy serving Bhakrishar Pandit.
What he did is he protected Vrikeshwara Pandit as Vrikeshwara Pandit was dancing.
Yes.
And he was ecstatic because he was, yes. But the actual forgiveness came when he went back to Srivas Thakur and begged for forgiveness. He got mercy from Vrikeshwara Pandit by serving him. Then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructed him to go to Srivas Thakur. And then he got completely forgiven.
Because the Maharaj mentality in a practical level, some devotee may develop, I'm not saying they are, that, oh, you know what, I don't like that Maharaj. I'll just go with my bhajan, with my chanting, and I like who I like. I will hang around with them. I don't care whom I offended. It's not important.
Well, they have to go, whoever you offend, or whoever someone offends, they have to go to that person and beg forgiveness. Or else they'll lose a taste for hearing and chanting at the very least. There's a temple of Rakeshwara Pandit and Radhakund, Radha Radhakanta temple in Radhakund.
Mm.
That's the temple of Rakeshwara Pandit. And it's right near, someone could correct me if I'm wrong, but I think it's right near our Gopal Mandir. Champaka, is that right? She's on there. She knows Radhakanta.
Yes, that's correct.
Right there. It's like right across from our Gopal Mandir.
Yeah, it's just opposite it. Yeah.
At the Ghat, right at the Ghat to Radhakund. Yeah. That's the temple of Radha Radhakanta at Radhakund. And I am going to Radhakund tomorrow. I wish.
Maharaj, one more question can I ask?
Yes. If you ask any more questions, I'll become ecstatic and start rolling on the ground, remembering Radhakund.
That'll be great. I'll drive tonight. Meet you there.
Gadgara, Rudiya, Gira, Pulaka, Nichitam, Vapu, Kata, Tava, Nama, Grahane, Bhavishyati. Okay, so what's one more question and then that's it.
Maharaj, it appears like Bhaktivinoda Thakur wrote a whole song about Gaur Gadadhar. He established temples. Yes. And Gaura Keshava Prabhu, your godbrother, who used to be our main DT kind of a guide or mentor, he said that when Prabhupada went to Australia, there is actually the DT you probably heard. It was a Gaur Gadadhar, Prabhupada said, but then they changed it. Now it's Gaur Nithai, or they installed Nithananda Prabhu. I asked him, can you give details? He said, I cannot trace it. I was there installing the DT. Prabhupada said, this is not Gaur Nithananda, this is Gaur Gadadhar. Of course, in ISKCON, we don't have Gaur Gadadhar much. Why not? Yeah. I'm just asking you. You are our authority.
Because, why not? Because we need the mercy of Lord Nityananda. That's why. Gaur Gadadhar worship is a very elevated worship. We need the mercy of Lord Nityananda. Heino nitarvine vai Radha Krishna poite nai. Right?
Yes.
You know Bengali, you're Bengali. So without the mercy of Lord Nityananda, no one can understand Radha and Krishna. So it's Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. So that's why. I mean, we could, like Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he worshipped Gaur Gadadhar. That's a fact. And in many of the Gaudiya Mass, they worship Gaur Gadadhar. But we need Lord Nityananda. Heino Nityananda. Radha Krishna Poite Nai.
Are you Nityananda Bhakta or Gadadhar Bhakta? I'm just curious, man. I know you cannot say.
I'm not a Bhakta. I'm a Bhukta.
You're too humble, Maharaj.
If I was a bhakta, I would be happy. I would be always happy. Nitai more korosuki ami boro duki. You know?
Yes.
Lord Nityananda, you're always happy. I am most unhappy. I'm not a bhakta. I'm a Bogaishvarya Prasatanam, Thayaya Pritchetasam, Vyavasayatmikad Vudhir, Asamado Navadhiyate. That's me.
Well, that's the symptom of a great personality. They feel that way. That's true.
It's also the symptom of a fallen rascal who's honest. Anyway, enough fun. So, all right, so we'll see everybody tomorrow evening. All glories to His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivinoda Swami, Srila Prabhupada, Ki.